Howdy! Welcome to episode 10 of the Mainline Beyond with Mark Singer. Tonight's guest is none other than EJ Simpson, bassist and multi-instrumentalist extraordinaire. We're going to discuss music, some influences, and some upcoming shows, including a new album release, and a whole lot more. We really hope you enjoy the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Howdy, folks.
Hey.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Mainline and Beyond with Mark Singer. I'm here with my good friend EJ Simpson, who sometimes plays bass in Steal Your Peach. And that is always a fun thing to do. What a blessing.
That's fun stuff.
I brought him here tonight to talk about Venusians, the effects of psychedelics in mental health treatments.
Cool. I think it's microdosing.
That's right.
That's like the homeopathic version. Give it a little, wait, be patient, and maybe your patient will open up their mind and feel better.
And if not, we macrodose.
Macro.
Yeah. So we're here in Ardmore at the spot, otherwise known as my home. And we're getting closer to Steal Your Peach's big show at the Ardmore Music Hall, March 17th. St. Paddy's Day, it's a Friday.
Oh, man.
Yep. We've got Ron Holloway and Chelsea Villacava as special guests, doing a little bit of a homage, if you will, to the Watkins Glen Summer Jam, which is 50 years this year. The festival that was more people than Woodstock. It was the band, the Grateful Dead, and the Allman Brothers. So many that are listening may already be aware, but if not, get your tickets because it's going to sell out most likely. It's a second year in a row for St. Paddy's Day. This time it's a Friday.
I have a question.
Yep.
Are you going to add any of songs by, you don't have to answer it, by the band? Slip a couple of the band songs into your set?
Yes. No doubt. I mean, that's not going to, I'm not even going to keep that as a secret because we have to.
Dig it.
Yeah. No,
tickets,
no doubt.
Tickets, buy them now.
Yes.
People.
And, you know, just walk to the show. Then you don't have to worry about all the St. Paddy's Day stuff. That's what I do. But, you know, you might not live in Ardmore.
There's that factor. This is getting out to the World Wide Web and the whole world, right?
Yeah. You know, there's 32,000 people tuned in right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a small stepping stone. We're shooting for a million. So, you know, I'm glad that you made it over here. I've known you for a while now. I think Adam Flicker introduced us maybe, but I'm not sure. I think.
It's a good hunch, probably, yeah.
I definitely associate you and Adam for some reason.
That's a plus. He's a great player, great guy. We love him.
He is. We do.
he was on your show. Couple shows ago.
Yes. Yeah, he was.
This is 10.
Yep.
We're here.
So, you know, I was starting every show with a little bit of an opening spiel a la Conan O'Brien or, you know, any one of the late night talk show hosts. But it's a work in progress. Every week I kind of go with the flow. We had Danny Mayer on Thursday. If anyone didn't catch that show, you want to do that because Danny's one of the best cats out on the scene on guitar. Some know of him, but not enough people, I would say. His band On the Spot Trio is freaking phenomenal. If you like danceable, funky jazz a la Soul Live, Modesky, Martin & Wood kind of sound, you know, check that out. So, but yeah, I mentioned that because it was a Thursday show and I wasn't sure if everyone really had tuned in and caught that. But if not, it's up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and our YouTube page. If you haven't gotten a chance, please shoot over to our YouTube page. It's just Mainline and Beyond with Mark Singer and hit subscribe. We'd really appreciate that. Just trying to continue to grow the show and be a resource to the local community, Philadelphia and the burbs on the vibrant music scene here in Philadelphia. And also, you know, as something that I do as a father with two children, I am a realtor as well. So I help people in that process. The show is brought to you by my business, which can be found at ilovemarksinger.com. Mark spelled with a C. If you see my logo around town, it does look just like the some other ones you may have
seen. Some other ones that are sort of the opposite spin with a similar name, I believe. I Love Mark Singer. It's right on your hat, isn't it, Mark?
Oh, yes. I forgot I was wearing this. Thank you. Thank you.
I can read.
So getting back to EJ anyhow. Both, we're going to get back to EJ. If the spring market's coming, if you want to sell a home, if you want to reach out to me, I'm always, instant message away. And I know there are people that have, they think they know, they're not sure, they have questions. Let's direct the questions at me, because there are things that you could accomplish you may not be aware of. So that's my whole thing as far as that's concerned. As far as EJ is concerned, you play quite a few instruments. He's a multi-instrumentalist.
I play a few.
I could say I caught you at one of the little Roxborough bars that, you know, through our friendship, where it was, you know, you did a really crazy show with a mixture of musicians and kind of fronted the band, and it was just off the wall stuff, man. It was just, but it was very cool. You had John Glaubitz on guitar.
Right.
You know, and you know, I think Allie and maybe even Dina Epstein was a part of it at one point.
Yep, it sounds pretty pretty logical that they'd be part of it.
Yeah. And it's cool. It was very experimental kind of sound, but you know, you have a unique way of expressing yourself musically. So you have a new album coming.
Thank you. Yeah, some of those people you just mentioned are on the record. This is a vinyl record. And this, Mark, do you know what this is?
I do not.
Hold it up for the people. It says this is in color, right? Are we in color,
Mark? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's my record as well. That, if squished properly with the proper machine and everything, becomes a record.
Get out of town.
I'm serious. Oh, I got that when I picked these up. So I was... That's my show and tell piece. That's that's my icebreaker here for my record. Yes.
Wow. The fact that any human came up with the concept of carving sound into vinyl, it's just, wow.
It's true. I found some footage from the 50s. I'll forward it over to you and about how they did records back then. And yeah, it's true. The cylinders. The first cylinders, and then then we're at this. The latest.
And the album is called?
So my band is called You Purple Virgin, and that's named after this bass right here that I made back in the day. And if you squish this in a different machine, it becomes my purple bass. So I made this modulus graphite-necked cool thing way back in the day. So it's called You Purple Virgin. That's the name of my project. And it is kind of a rotating cast for the moment till we get solidified. You know, it's like EJ and Friends, you know, till we kind of get some regulars going.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people on this record, you know, some of these cats will be at the release party, so that's what I'm excited about.
Nice.
Including Allison Hilly, Dina, and Rachel make up the Rads. Rachel, Allie, and Dina backup singing.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other mofos will be there.
Nice. Produced by Phil Niccolo.
Yeah, we got the ball rolling. It's produced by Adrian Harpham and myself, and we got the ball rolling with Phil Niccolo, and he's got Studio for Vinyl, and that's where this came from.
Got it.
That's where that came from.
Cool. So, tell me, you seem like somebody that became, you know, involved with music at an early age. Is that right?
Yeah, my parents met in the choir at Temple University, so there was always music and singing around the table and the car trips.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had an extensive record collection.
Mm-hmm.
And so a little saxophone and a little piano and singing when I was a kid, but it was a bass that got me kind of rolling. Okay. More excited about things when I was about 12.
Is that right?
Yes.
So sax was first.
Saxophone, yeah.
I have a funny story about the sax.
Let's hear it.
In the third grade, you know, and at most public schools, I think, is when they first introduce kids to instruments, and I wanted to play sax, and they gave me a reed, you know, and explained how you have to buzz your lips, and in that moment, I guess I didn't really do a very good job of it. And there's like, here's a violin. That was, you know,
quick switch.
Yeah. Like what?
Well, did that get you going on strings and fingerboards and stuff?
A little bit. No, I never, violin is a very cool instrument. I kind of wish I stuck with it. I learned some basics, and piano too. Yeah, it was always sax. It's always,
That's how I feel about sax. I wish I still played it.
Uh-huh.
I had a couple lessons with David Fishkin, who's on the record, where he was showing me saxophone and I was showing him bass.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was sax and piano, but bass is really kind of what took you.
Yeah, my brother that was playing guitar, we had a dobro sitting around when I was a kid. And one day we're all like, Dad, where did the dobro go? He sold it. But so bass was the thing that I kind of got interested in. But then my brother's guitar was part of it. The piano in the house was part of it, you know. And music theory class at our old Laura Marion school right over there.
Oh, did you? Was cool. Learn some theory
was sparkly
there?
And like, oh, interesting. And so then one day I met the mandolin, which is the same four strings as a four string bass. And I was like, oh, it's the same four strings, but small and upside down. And so I started multi-instrumentaling, I guess.
Yeah, I think the first time I heard you play mandolin was at the Bob Dylan tribute with Ken Queter last year.
Oh.
It was very cool.
This is live, right?
Yeah.
We're talking March 2023, right?
Yeah.
Because that event is coming right up.
I thought I saw that.
It's coming. It's always on Bob's birthday, and it's at the Ardmore Music Hall.
Uh-huh.
It's been there for the last several years. Mm-hmm. So Bob's birthday. Look it up, show up.
Yep.
It's free for audience, and it's quite a spectacle because there's so many musicians doing all different Bob Dylan songs.
Yeah.
I'll bring my mandolin. I'll have my mandolin.
Oh, nice. Very nice. So it was a natural kind of progression. Both your parents were musical, encouraged you guys probably to play. And
yeah.
What you said, your dad had a record collection.
Fast.
What kind of music was he into?
His was mostly jazz. And doo-wop, like early R&B. And he had some rock.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's stuff would be more classical and like folk, Joni and Judy and Leonard and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they all kind of blend. And he had a big rock and roll collection too, which we kind of discovered later. And it was a big, big record collection.
Nice. So you formed your first band in high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jamming with buddies. Adrian Harpham, who, you know, co-produced this and plays drums on it and is playing the release party. You know, he was like the first drummer I ever played with.
Oh, you guys go back that far?
That far. That way far.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. And he plays with like Oz Noy and crazy cats like that, right?
He opened for Prince one time. He recorded with Dr. John. If I keep going about his career, especially if I condense it right now, it's like, wow.
Hmm.
Yep. Adrian Harpham.
Wow.
I'm forgetting a bunch of them, but, you know.
Lower Marion.
He skipped up to Boston by that point, but we had connected in junior high, and it bonded.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I've known him a long time.
So, when we first met, and we were talking probably about, you know, music and where you had been in music, and you mentioned the Goats. The Goats, for those that don't know, because it's probably a handful of people out there that know.
Tom, we'll give you a little feed-in music.
They were like an alternative hip-hop band from Philly that I don't know how you would describe, but how long were you with them? Is this some Goats?
I'm not your typical American. I'm not your typical American. Played on this bass... through a Leslie. Crazy, the Goats. I was with them for a good portion of their time.
Okay.
It was a lucky thing that my buddy Pierce Ternay, who's another local cat, and I was in a band with him for years and years called Maggie, Pierce, and EJ.
Mm-hmm.
It was a trio.
Right.
Can you guess who was in it? he was involved. He, you know, he just kind of casually, hey, I'm doing these demos for this. Come with me. And the demo got the deal. The deal, you know, got the. I'll tell you about the Goats later. But yeah, it was great.
No,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a springboard. It was big time. It was that we had a tour bus. We had big. We played huge festivals all over Europe.
With, oh, you did all that?
With Tool and Smashing Pumpkins and Bad Brains.
Oh, see, I thought like the whole thing that with the blow up at Woodstock was like that was like their, like in other words, they were kind of getting ready to take that step, and that's when all that went down. But you had already done Europe and some
the
big,
blow up at Woodstock. Is yeah. it notorious?
Yeah, did you yeah. know about it, Mike? I mean, I think you have to share this story. Unless it's, you don't want to.
There's a book that one of the guys at the record label wrote, Chris Schwartz, and he's got his perspective. It was really interesting because I was like, well, that's your perspective. Pierce had his and I had mine. The Woodstock 94, not the Woodstock 99. The Woodstock 94 event was super cool, and the Goats were a part of that. And there was some, what was happening? We got on the stage. It was pretty cool. Maggie Pierce and EJ were kind of launching at that point, and there was some shifting of the gears that happened. And that might, I guess that was about the top, the finale of the Goats. There was some aftermath and a couple gigs for a while after that. A few with me. I don't think any with Pierce, but by that point he had reached his end.
I gotcha.
But yeah, we played up at the Woodstock 94 and stayed there for the whole weekend and had a rather awesome time.
Nice.
That was and that was my finale show with the Goats, which might deserve its whole other show. I don't know.
I don't think so, but if you all think right, so. Tell.
I had a gig the night before, and I drove through the night to get there in the morning. And they said, well, EJ, we were nervous, so we got a new guy. And I don't blame them all. But they're like, here's your laminate and have a good time. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to go out quite like that. So what happened was...
Oh, I didn't know it was like that. Wow.
That's one story. Uh-huh. What happened was... And it was really amicable. I mean, I really... Everybody was like, look, we just... It was risky, man. And I said, I'm sorry to make you nervous all through the night. So what I did, Mark, was right when they were playing their first song... I mean, yeah. their single, the new single... I streaked the stage. I was all over the stage in a naked flurry, and everybody laughed, and the band relaxed, the new guys. And, you know, it was Friday afternoon, and there was a lake of people. There was a sea of people by that night, you know. And so that was kind of my finale. It's photographic evidence somewhere.
Did then they escorted you off stage or something like that? Or
it's funny, the guy did. The guy tried to escort me off. The manager runs over. He goes, well, no, he's in the band. It's cool. And the guy's like, where's your laminate? I'm like, my laminate's in my shorts in a pile. You can't streak with a laminate.
Right. Where's your laminate? That's
funny. So where would I hang it? All right.
So they got you off stage. That was the end of the Goats. That was pretty much their finale gig, you're saying. Huh?
Yeah, they had a few others after that, and they carried on with... and then they kind of broke off into Incognito and into Black Landlord, which I think they're still rocking.
Yeah. I actually got into Black Landlord a bit. They're a killer. That was interesting stuff, definitely.
And there was a Goats reunion in the studio. Was it 2 years ago? It was right before the election, so it was 2020, right? And it didn't quite gel, but it was cool. It was promising for a couple sessions.
A Goats reunion, no kidding.
We all were in the studio. I got a picture of it. We were working on new tracks, but it didn't take wings.
Got it. So, and then you mentioned your friend Pierce. He's half of Him for Her now, right?
Correct.
Right, that's what I thought, okay. Which Him for Her is worth checking out, too, for those that don't know. That's Him, like H-Y-M-N. For her.
You should get them on this jam because they're mainline and beyond. But
totally.
Currently they're beyond, but.
Yeah, right. They just travel around the world or something a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. So you're also in Boris Garcia.
This is true.
And that you guys just played the Falser Club.
Right.
How was that?
Falser's where my record release, and I say record release. Vinyl record release party will be May 5th.
Boris the Falser Club is a really neat venue that's only been going on for a few months as a music venue on Midvale Ave in East Falls. Our friend Gary Lee does a lot of the booking there.
Yeah.
From the Deb Callahan Band and other bands. So if you see any shows coming up at the Falser Club, you definitely go check them out. I think they have a female songwriter thing coming up and... they're doing a lot of cool stuff over there. So
that's true, yeah. That's true. So I did. I played there with Boris Garcia Saturday. It was cool to check out the room and everything. And Boris Garcia has a new CD coming out.
Okay.
Their latest. I've been on the last two or three, maybe. Produced by Tim Carbone of Railroad Earth.
Okay.
CD release will be at the Sellersville Theater on the 24th of this very month, Mark.
The 24th of March. A CD release for Boris Garcia at the Sellersville Theater. You hear that? They are original. How would you describe the sound, EJ?
Well, there's the name Garcia in Boris Garcia, and half the band is in Box of Rain.
Right.
Which is a Grateful Dead band. And then Bob goes way back with Living Earth.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some Grateful Dead-y stuff. There's a little bluegrass in there. There's a lot of songwriting in there. And a snappy new drummer. So it's kind of like that. Oh, and a new guy who adds really nice harmonies. So they're really getting into their harmony thing, too. Sounded great at the Falzer. Everything's going to sound great at the Falzer. May 5th is really going to sound
good. The show you guys just did at World Cafe had some heavy hitters like Tim Carbone, right, from Railroad Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't he produce an album or something for Boris Garcia?
He produced the last two, and I think the one before that I'm not on. Yes, Boris Garcia 2 weeks ago opened up for, they're called the High Hawks, and it's a band comprised
Vince
of
from Leftover Sam.
Leftover Sam and
he's
Vince.
He's great. I love that guy.
And then And Tim Carbone, who sat in with Boris Garcia. He sat in at our opening set on drums and then again on the violin.
Do you know Leftover Salmon, how they describe their sound?
Is that why they're called Leftover Salmon?
I have no idea why they're called that, but they describe their sound as polyethnic Cajun slamgrass.
Somebody had to think of that, and then the band had to agree on that. Could you say that again, please? Polyethnic
Cajun slamgrass.
So, how do I describe this? You said at my gig at Dawson.
I don't think they're that like serious about it. You know, this is one of those things.
You got to say something, right? So right. This is. You said I have an original way of expressing my music.
Right.
And yeah. Mike was asking, and I was like, well.
I was going to ask you, like, who are some major influences? Zappa, you mentioned earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
One friend said, how about Zappa Meets the Dead? And I was like, well, that's cool.
Uh-huh. You do like the Grateful Dead.
I do like the Grateful Dead.
You know quite a bit of their catalog.
I do. I even listen to the Deadhead Hour on Monday nights on the radio, which is later tonight I'll be tuning in.
You hear that, folks?
Local nerd thing.
You hear that?
And they get in, they're like, that was the Spectrum 86 or whatever. And I was
right.
Like, I think I was there or whatever. You know? Anyway, not to nerd out. What does this sound like? There's melodies, there's songs, there's influences.
No, well, I mean, you know, for you personally, what would you say, you know, who would you say are some influences?
I think this album's got a little Bjork in it, maybe, like production value-wise. Like, we took it from someplace cool. It's got some George Harrison in there.
Okay.
I like to think some of the artwork implies a prog thing. So there's a little bit of a King Crimson element, if I'm lucky.
Okay.
And with some of the players that, you know, and bringing it out of them. We're going to infuse a tribute to Jeff Beck at the release party on May 5th, 2023 at the Falzer, 8 o'clock.
Cinco de Mayo.
Which is Cinco de Mayo.
Oh.
So another person who's going to be a part of the release party is Jay Davidson on saxophone.
Sweet.
And I texted him if he was available, and he responded with, Cinco de EJ, I'm there. And I was like, that's pretty funny. And he's no slouch, so.
No, Jay? No, he is not. He has played sax and keys.
With some MFs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yet so down to earth and modest about it. For sure. So you brought your bass, which is very cool. I had no idea that you were going to perform some bass music.
I'm just kind of doing background noodle over our conversation.
Is that all?
it's Vista Room, a song on the album Vista Room. Kind of sounds like a tango. It was written on a train, a cross country train ride, and there's nobody here. This room was so crowded, but I'm alone in the Vista Room. I caught the train in San Francisco, and it was packed. It was a party train. It was crazy. Everything was shaking. It was a train. Reno, Nevada, ghost train. It was, like, weird. So I wrote a poem on a napkin. There's nobody here. This room was so crowded. Oh, let me check the lyrics. But I'm alone in the Vista Room, and then I set it to music, and that's what you'll hear on the on the record.
And you actually had your bass with you on the train, or did you use a guitar at the time?
Or a mandolin or a ukulele. They are fabulous instruments in their own right, and, you know, and they are also a lot smaller.
Totally.
Than even a guitar. So I definitely, they're like the travel.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting approach to write on the bass, too. But do you do that, though?
I have, yeah. I have, yeah. Because, and I teach a bunch of lessons, too, over in Narberth. So
I was going to, at Danny's Guitar Shop, right?
Danny's Guitar Shop on Forest. He's been there 14 years, independent little store.
Yep, local guitar store in Narberth. Dan Gold, Danny's Guitar Shop. If you need anything in your local or you need lessons, great place to go. Danny's a great guy.
Truly that.
Do you want to try another from the new album?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I could just sort of jam along a little bit on the... keep it nice and quiet here. Well, it's so finite. It feels forever. Days flipping by like a cartoon calendar. Time, how we feel it, and then no time coming nearer. Oh, what a well constructed illusion. Oh, what a well constructed. Constructed illusion.
It's going to be a cool show on May the 5th at the Falzer Club.
I agree.
Yeah. If I don't have my kids, I will be there. I promise.
I mean, I understand. I do want to say it is all ages to the people, but, you know. Bring them, don't bring them, I'm just saying.
Well, you know, my 7-year-old, without hesitation, it's the 1-year-old that is a little tricky.
I understand.
Yeah. She loves music. She responds to music very enthusiastically, but I don't know about public places with lots of people drinking libations.
Cinco de Mayo, you never know what might be consumed.
Yeah.
Full moon, 4 blocks from the river. I think that's kind of cool. You can walk right down to the Schuylkill River.
Yeah, I like East Falls. Yeah. I like that whole area there. And that's where Gary lives, like right there.
Gary... it was an early influence, to tell you the truth. I saw Gary when I snuck into the Grave Street Pub.
Okay.
I was I wasn't really snuck in because it was a tavern, and I was actually with my mom and a friend of hers, and I saw him playing Avila, and I was really like loved this bass player. He had a Steinberger, you know. So I was like, what the heck is that? What do you call it? What is that thing? You know, it's like Steinberger. It's like has no headstock.
Yeah.
And has no body, but you know, they're still interesting looking instruments. But anyway, so yeah, Gary and I go way back.
Cool. One thing I've been trying to get into on each of these interviews is how music has helped you through hard times, you know, the mental health benefits, you know, the way that it has, you know, become a part of who you are.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, is that something you can speak on at all?
I think I can. We mentioned that the other day when we were twirling at the Ardmore.
Oh, yes. The splintered sunlight.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I'll say, like, I'm feeling, like, a little frustrated. I haven't played music in a while. And somebody might say, but you taught, you know, 20 lessons and you were working on this and that. And I go, yeah, but, and the thing I would do, I think, is, light a candle, got a light, and like kind of sit in the kitchen. And like, that's just, it's a whole different thing. Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. But, and it gives me the equilibrium. Maybe I'll be writing something or channeling something, or it's just like, and if I don't do that, whatever that is, communicating with the whatever it is, I feel off, But if I do that, and I could do it on this or I could do it on the piano, just something that I'm like, okay. And again, kind of the candle in the kitchen is just one sort of setting of like where that might happen.
You mean if you feel like things are kind of getting stagnant or sedentary and then you want to, you feel like you need something to inspire you or get your creative juices flowing, so to speak.
Yeah, but like you said, what did you say about the subject that you're each one of these interviews is like, how does it help you deal with life?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's it helped you through hard times?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does everybody have a song that saved their life or something like that? A lot of people have like, this one song saved my life. And I think Elton John wrote that song about it. Someone saved my life tonight. Oh, that's about someone. But yeah, without music, life would be flat or whatever the joke is. But it's true. Is that too loud?
It's very loud. Yeah, it is. I'd say it is a little too loud. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, candle. You served your purpose.
It's all good. It's we'll provide everything that we need just for those few seconds. But you're always an upbeat guy, to be honest with you. At least from what I see on the surface, EJ, every time I cross paths with you, you're pretty positive.
Thanks, dude.
Kind of chipper.
Thanks, you, Mark.
Kind of guy.
Well, I try to
Which
bring
is the
that.
Type of person I should be around more.
All right, we're hanging out. If I didn't have a rehearsal, we'd be going to the pub or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's funny, the part that one of my songs is called Slice, and the idea of is like, well, the whole thing, how do you know, who do you know that well? I mean, this part of them, this part's the really cool part, or like this part of them, or you know them as this. You ever run into people who, maybe you know them in your field of house seller, and then they see you at a show, and they're like, oh, you're kind of a rock star too, or whatever, like, you know them this way, I know, you're the camera guy, but we, in other ways that we, so it's like, all right, so I'm glad to be like, the thumbs up guy, a guy that, you're happy to spend a few hours with. So cool.
Yeah, for sure. Is this another?
No, I'm noodling.
You are noodling.
Oh, I want to throw this at the release party. See if you can guess this song. No, here it is. It's called Purple J Way. I'm kidding.
Okay.
I've just changed it to Purple J Way. Blue J Way. For I may be there's a fog upon LA. And my friends have lost their way.
That has to be a George.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And that's what they say. Blue Jay Way, please don't be long. Please don't you be very long. Please don't be long. Please don't be long. For I may be a.
Jimmy Herring, one of my favorite guitarists, did a great version of Within You, Without You. That's very cool. If you've never heard
it. Like
it's
check
kind
that
of
out.
You know, heavy Jeff Beck influence kind of sound.
Jeff Beck. I got to see him a couple years ago in Camden, so I'm so glad. And I was like, I can't wait until he comes back, man.
Yeah.
Amazing. He ain't coming back.
No, he sure isn't. I got to see him two times, and both shows were incredible. The one at the Tower with Brian Wilson will stand out as one of the best shows I have ever seen.
What?
Yeah. Right?
With Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
And Jeff Beck at the Tower Theater.
On a co-bill. Yeah, sir.
You lucky duck.
Brian Wilson's set was mind-blowing, man. And the vocal harmonies, the whole thing was just like, holy
what?
Shit.
What? Where is that?
If we Google it, I can find it. It happened. I was there. But that was killer. And then I saw him at the Homedale PNC Arts Center. Buddy Guy opened the show for Jeff Beck. And Jeff had Prince's bass player, Rhonda. I thought you would know. I thought one of you guys would help me out here.
I think it might be just Rhonda Smith or something.
But that might not
have been
be
at
right.
the. There was like a bass camp, boot camp at the Ardmore Gerald Veasley's boot camp, and there was a woman, and I. Sorry, name. She was looking great. I think she was the only woman on the bill. And anyway, that might be who you're talking
Not
about.
Not Tal Wilkenfeld?
It wasn't Tal. No, Tal, okay. I saw her with Jeff Beck. She's played with him a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And she was at the Ardmore doing a... one time she had...
I saw her with her own band.
I hopefully come on back, Tal, to Ardmore. Just outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah, why don't you? But no, Rhonda, whatever her name is, was with Jeff Beck and was incredible. And then Jeff had, I don't know if you know who, Wet Willie, what's his name? He played Jimmy Hall. Oh, man, he's a Southern guy. He was friends with the Allman Brothers. Mm-hmm. Wet Willie was his band, and he still performs. He plays harmonica, and he's just got a really soulful voice. One of his big hits was called Keep On Smiling. I don't know if you ever heard.
And he was singing with Jeff Beck.
With Jeff Beck that night. Oh, man. Yeah, it was a great show, man.
Did you ever see him?
I did once. 20 years ago, probably.
Tower?
No, out in Minneapolis.
Oh, nice.
Open theater.
Nice.
Actually, yeah. It was him with his band.
Yeah.
I don't remember who was in the band. It was 25 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a long time ago. You know, one of his numerous mini tours he did in the early 90s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was headlining something in Camden, and I took the boat over, and I missed some. It was some guitar. I forget what it was, but I was got there and was able to catch it. And his set was short. I was like, that's why I was like, I want to hear a whole set, man. But anyway, so glad I got to check him out.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, he's another one that, you know, I mean, people pretty much put him on the highest of high pedestals, which may, you know. He's just, anyone that innovated their own sound to me is where it's at on any instrument, but especially, you know, he had an immediately identifiable sound, which you can say about other players too, for sure, but yeah, man, he'll be missed. I went and saw a show Saturday at the Ardmore Music Hall of a band that I'd never heard of. They've been around since the 60s. They're super psychedelic, called Os Mutantes. I thought, I was like, when I said it, like, he's gonna know. Vocal harmonies and, you know, kind of avant-garde, jazzy type of sound. Os Mutantes, I recommend. They're really cool.
Love vocal harmonies, so Os Mutantes.
Yeah, very cool sound. And then I was at the Ardmore again last night for a short while for some Shamika Copeland goodness.
Oh, yeah.
The blues diva that she is. Her band was sounding great, and that was pretty cool.
My band in San Francisco used to do one of her dad's tunes.
Oh, Johnny Copeland.
Yeah.
Okay. Which
kinda,
one?
Kind of like that. Now You Got It. And it was like this. And now you got it.
Whoa.
You wanted me down on my knees. And now you got it.
So I'll put you on the spot a little bit. You play with a lot of different drummers. Bass and drums go hand in hand. Who are some of your favorite drummers to play with?
To play with?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Adrian. Mind-readingly, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just the other night, Jeff Barg is new with Boris Garcia. He's a lot of fun to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I have a great time playing with? A whole lot of them. Who else would I call? Maddie Muir. Mm-hmm. Who have I played drums
Freddie,
with?
You play with
Fred
him
the Red. He's, yeah, we've gigged together. I first jammed with Freddie in London. I'd met him from Philly, and it was really funny. We're like, is this really the first time that we're jamming together? Because
Fred Berman, for those who don't know.
Yeah. Right, Fred the Red Rojo,
right.
Thus the hair color, Fred Berman, yeah. So we were like, isn't this funny that we're first actually jamming one of his sound checks at in London?
With what band?
He was with Amos Lee, and I was there.
You play with Amos in London?
No, I was on the tour.
With what believe, band?
No, I was with the tour manager.
Oh,
it was
I see.
Romance of the highest degree.
I see.
At that time.
That sounds like a nice adventure.
It was great. There's so many pluses in that. And, you know, songwriters, they get songs out of it. So if it's all right to mention, this is my third record. If you listen to my first record, a lot of songs about that. Maybe the London soundcheck made it into a couple of lyrics. I'm not really sure. But that's what happened. That's when I first played with Freddie, and we were like, huh. Because I knew him, because he used to work at Disc Makers, where I got my CDs pressed.
Okay.
Of my new album. These I got at Studio 4 Vinyl. Favorite drummers. That was it.
Yeah.
How did I do?
So those are good ones. Yeah.
How did I do? I forgot a couple, I'm sure.
First time I met Fred, he played with my friend Hezekiah Jones at a house party that we had. And the bands were set up on the roof of the house. There was a flat roof, so.
A house that you had?
Yeah. It was a house that was on a 2-acre lot that is a long story that we never should have been in, but it was a beautiful house.
You should have never left it. What do you mean?
Well, yeah, that was part of the trap with it, actually. Funny you should say that, but it was a beautiful house in Lansdowne, tucked back in the woods, facing Darby Creek, so you felt like you were like in the Poconos somewhere. However, the city was like a 5 or 10 minute ride to University City.
Yeah.
So you would, you know, it was unbelievable. I think it is probably one of the coolest properties in the whole Philadelphia area. As a matter of fact, those that have been there would probably say and agree. But we had this one kind of festival where we did it up on a 4th of July weekend, and we had a lot of bands. We set them up on the roof. We had a sound guy and the whole nine. It was a pretty good time.
Just one?
What?
Just one festival. That's it.
Well, that was kind of to that. That was kind of like to that level. You know?
I just heard who told me that Lansdowne Theater, movie theater, is revamping.
They've been working on it.
To be a venue.
Yeah,
you tell me that?
I don't know if it was me, but that is going on. It's been going on, but I think they are getting closer. They've had some fundraiser shows, like Dave Mason played there.
Seems I've got to have a change of scene.
Yeah, right.
Because every night I have the strangest dream. That Dave Mason.
I'd love to see him get the tower back open again sometime. That would be cool.
Yeah.
You know what else I would love to see? It's probably a little far-fetched. Is if somehow they could renovate the Ardmore Movie Theater, what was, back into a theater of some sort. You know, like multi-use.
I wonder what's in there now. It was a gym.
It was a gym. Now it's a furniture store.
Furniture store.
So it's like, you know, it still has the front facade of the theater.
Yeah.
But the inside's all different.
The one right up here?
What's the that? One on Lancaster.
The Sun Movie Theater?
Where?
Lancaster, right?
Where?
On Lancaster Avenue.
No. It's a furniture store. Yeah, right. That whole marquee was a movie theater.
There used to be another one on the other side of the train tracks, right in Ardmore Suburban Square.
Oh,
do you remember that one?
Where was
that? We're going way back.
In Suburban Square.
Yeah,
it's now Not Your Average Joe's, and then it was the Ardmore Farmers Market. I never went to.
So we're going way back.
You're predating me.
I'm dating yourself. Okay. Hey, what are you doing Thursday night? You're looking pretty good. Want to go out to dinner? I'm dating myself.
That's like a Stephen Wright kind of joke.
Yeah.
Remember Stephen Wright?
Dating yourself. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. You seem like you would be a Stephen Wright fan.
I know some of his stuff, some of his quotes, you know.
Yeah, he was the guy on the couch in Half Baked. A lot of people probably only know him
yes.
from that. But
yes,
yeah.
I saw that movie kind of recently. I got an affinity for Dave Chappelle, you know, because many times he cracked up my mom in her final couple years. So Dave Chappelle, you know, you made mom laugh so hard her teeth fell out. It was great. It was really great.
Nice. That's always a good sign. Well, we are winding down. I want to take a look at some things going on. I musically. I had mentioned some things that just happened at the Ardmore Music Hall, but I'd like to also discuss any other things that might be going on. I'm not going to lie. I borrowed a lot of the lists that I look at here off the, you know, where it's at, the Philadelphia Jamily. If those that don't, anyone out there doesn't know, it's a page on Facebook that is devoted to basically sharing every live music show going on in the city and outside of the city.
In the area?
Yeah.
In the main line and beyond?
The main line and beyond. And it's pretty impressive how thorough it is. So what do we have here? We have, well, this one isn't musical, but it looks like Aunt Mary Pat will be at the Ardmore Music Hall coming up on Wednesday, I think. That's right. That's the 8th. Delco parody phenom, I guess, whatever that's supposed to mean. And some other cool stuff. Larkin Poe. That's a good one. I want to go. I don't think I'll be able to, but they're at the Brooklyn Bowl. Two sisters. I don't know if anyone that doesn't know Brooklyn Bowl, Larkin Poe on the 10th. That's
Larkin
a really...
Larkin Poe. Brooklyn Bowl is in Philadelphia. Yeah. Don't be fooled. I'm easily confused.
It's a chain. Yeah, it started in Brooklyn. Then I don't know what order it's gone, but there's a Vegas one. There's a London one. Philly opened in November 21, somewhere October 21. But yeah, it is
a
chain.
A dirty trick for simple bass players like me. I mean, the Fillmore associated with San Francisco, but it's the Fillmore, and that's a chain as well. There's a Fillmore. It's right next to it.
Correct.
Isn't the Fillmore in Philadelphia right next to the Brooklyn Bowl in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Philadelphia, to be even more specific.
Some other shows to mention that I'd like to, I'm noticing here, Derek Dorsey, our good friend who Celia Peach helped do one benefit fundraiser for. He's a concert promoter and a friend of tons of local musicians who's got this horrible neurological ailment that's been just strict, you know, just... It's kind of cursed him over the last few years. The doctors don't have a lot of answers long term. And Talib Kweli and a whole host of other musicians are at the Ardmore Music Hall March the 9th. So that's Thursday to do a fundraiser for him. Those are a couple of the big ones. Looks like Marco Benevento is, everyone's favorite keyboard player from J-Rad and earlier on the Benevento-Russo duo, is at Underground Arts on Friday the 11th. So that's also, is that Friday? Saturday.
No, Friday's Krasnoy.
Friday.
Right, thank you.
But that's a different show.
And what's this, where are you getting this information again?
So I copied and pasted this list from the Philadelphia Jamily, which is a page on Facebook that is, I think Lauren Quinn is the person that runs it, but she's a music enthusiast, music lover, and killer. It's like it's just kind of helping people know what's going on. Where it's at, the Jamily.
The Jamily.
I'll show it to you.
Yeah, yeah. I'll throw my gigs up there.
So I wanted to give them a shout out. Get your gig on there. Definitely.
I'm hyping my record release party for sure. But I got a couple other gigs. One of which is my longstanding one-man show, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes!
So I'll just mention that.
When is that?
Friday, April 21st. And it's at Old Swedes, which is a great historic...
I saw Oh Brother, Where Art Thou there this year's amazing show. It was an amazing show, and it's a really cool place to visit.
It's a cool place. It's a historic building, oldest brick building, 16... I'm wrong about the date. It's old.
Oh, yeah.
And they also have music there. It's still actually a church. They have music. You used to be able to row your boat up to it. It's right by the river, Delaware Avenue and Washington in South Philly.
George Washington was married there.
Yeah, it's an old church. So I was doing a gig there with Sweet Briar Rose, a band I used to play in, and I said, oh my God, this would be perfect for my Jesus Christ Superstar, which I was I toured with it. It's an annual tradition. I've been doing it for 17 years, I believe.
What?
16 or 17.
Holy shit.
Because there's two people that were like, their birth started. And one's my cousin who's on a track here. And I was like, well, she's 17, so that means I've been doing it for... She'll be 17, so that means I've been doing it for 17 years.
Uh-huh.
So Old Swedes, I'm there with a gig with... and I say to the Sextons, could I do my Jim and Paula, the Sextons? I said, could I do my Jesus Christ Superstar here? And they said to me, do you want to do it in the hall or in the sanctuary? The gig I was doing at that moment was in the hall. And I was like, can I do that? So anyway, I do it in the sanctuary. I do it in the church. The sound of it is incredible. The vibe is incredible.
Yeah.
The history is incredible. And I'm doing Jesus Christ Superstar, for gosh sake. This right. incredible musical
by
from
yourself.
19,
yeah.
From
with 1970. How many instruments do you play on that?
I grab a few.
Yeah.
Approximately, you know, a handful or two. Some drums. I was saying one man with 12 guitars, but that wasn't completely accurate because there's a mandolin and there's a couple, maybe a fretless bass and my Purple Virgin here. And, you know, it's a good time.
You don't want to miss this show. I bet it is unbelievable. And every year, it's just like Oh Brother. It would happen and I'd be like, damn it, I wanted to go. But this year I caught it and I took Lila, which was really extra special because she's heard that soundtrack
since the
first day she came out of the womb, pretty much. So it was like really awesome experience.
Yeah,
so what's the date again? The 21st. That's 2 days before my birthday.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
April 21st, Friday, April 21st. That's the Superstar. I'm also going to rehearse with Baru Review. I've been playing with them for 5 or 6 years. They've been playing Philadelphia for 40 years.
Right. Right. I didn't know it was that long, but I knew as they were a fixture and they're amazing. Yeah.
And they're really intricate and they're like kind of vaudeville. They got two great lead guitar, double lead guitar, you know, the sound, you know.
Right.
Some bands that we love with two guitars.
Uh-huh. And it's kind of theatrical, too.
Yeah, it's original stuff, but and the Bob Baru is changing his costumes or his outfits.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the core band has been at it for 40 years, and I guess I'm the new guy. One of the new guys, and they...
Do you have to do some theatrics?
Well, it took them 35 years to realize they needed a mandolin, they needed rainbow bells and percussion.
Oh, sure.
So that's where I jump in.
Rainbow bells.
Rainbow. They're actually in the car. I should have brought them in.
Oh.
Bob Baru was one of my Jesus Christ Superstars, and he goes, we're underutilizing you. So that was pretty cool. I was like, here we go. So they have a gig at the Living Room. I should know the date.
Yeah.
I have it on my phone. And then at the City Winery, where Steal Your Peach played.
Yeah,
we had a great gig
you
down
played there, yeah, with us.
And who was the drummer?
They put fresh rosemary on your French fries.
They're really good. And our second drummer was, you know, Steal Your Peach, two drummers. Was large, as big as a house, pregnant, which
I forgot
how many gigs you play when the... Anybody on stage is just in that condition. So it made it a special night. It was really cool.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Where was I talking about? Baru Review will be at the Living Room in Ardmore on April 8th.
Okay.
And Baru Review will be at the City Winery in Philadelphia on Friday, May 19th.
Okay, May 19th at the City Winery. The Living Room, for those that don't know, is a venue that has had a few homes, but I think now has found a permanent home right on Cricket Avenue, and is a pretty cool looking space. I haven't gotten over there yet.
Very cool.
But Laura Mann is a long tenured Philadelphia songwriter. You say?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I heard it's really good.
Good spot. It's got couches. You'll feel right at home.
Right, because it's
little
the
stage.
Living room.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
And did I plug that one? I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Boris Garcia CD release will be at Sellersville on the 24th of this month. That's March 24th.
And that was the other thing. Okay. I wanted to check who is my guest for next week because we're winding down now. My guest for next week is none other than my good friend, Mikey Jr. Yeah. So Mikey will be in here and we'll be talking about Muddy Waters and Junior Wells and the blues. Where I first met Mikey was at Warm Daddy's, and Mikey has performed with some pretty heavy cats, and was at the Ardmore Music Hall last night because he had used Shamika Copeland's guitar player and is good friends with him. It's always a pleasure, man. I love Mikey.
Did he sit in?
I don't think so. No, I didn't stay till the end, but I don't think so. However, that's going to conclude episode 10 of the Mainline Beyond with Mark Singer. Thanks again for tuning in. All shows brought to you by ilovemarksinger.com. Please don't hesitate to reach out. Come support EJ.
EJSimpsonMusic.com.
EJSimpsonMusic.com, and come to his record release and all of his other projects as well. And thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next Monday at 7 again with Mikey Jr. Thanks again for tuning in to episode 10 of The Mainline and Beyond with Mark Singer.
As always, all episodes are brought to you by ilovemarksinger.com. That would be my realtor page. If anyone out there has any questions about buying or selling homes, please don't hesitate to reach out. Really do hope that you are enjoying the show, and we look forward to next week's show every Monday at 7 p.m. So thanks for following, and we'll see you next time.